Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm TalkSport's cricket editor, John Norman. And with the county championships starting on Friday, we have four more brilliant interviews for you today. Over the course of the next 40 minutes, you'll hear from Hampshire's Liam Dawson on his white ball plans away from county cricket in Hampshire, as well as thoughts on another season where his side are expected to challenge Surrey, whose Jamie Overton has had a successful winter. And with his injury problems hopefully behind him, he's targeting big things this summer. You will be hearing from him, as well as Durham's Baz Dalada, another with high expectations for the season ahead, as well as Hampshire's Keith Barker, who talks cricket and football, bringing memories of his time as a professional footballer under Graham Souness, no less. So let's start there. I guarantee it's an interview that will bring a smile to your face.
Keith, thanks for joining us on the eve of the 2024 season. The weather doesn't look like cricket weather, but how are you feeling ahead of the new campaign?
Not too bad, yeah. It's Every year this time of year, lads are excited to get out there and start the season off. We've got to stick it out in that wet, cold weather, trying to get through our friendlies. But excited every year, so looking forward to it.
Hampshire have gone so close to winning the championship in the previous few seasons. How much of a drive is it to finally get over the line and win it this year?
I think if we look at it like that, sometimes you can take your eye off the ball and worry about what everyone else is doing. The fact that we have become a lot more competitive, I think, is a huge bonus for us, and I think that's the thing we've got to keep looking at, is as long as we keep improving, we'll be there and thereabouts. We do want to win it. This is probably one of the strongest years I think Division 1 will be, so no game's easy, so we've just got to focus on what we do and try and get that right.
There's been a lot of talk about county cricket in the past, but you mentioned there the strength of depth in Division 1 itself this year. How much are you looking forward to testing yourself against the very best?
Oh yeah, I mean, that's, for me, that's the great gauge of being able to know where you're at as a player, and just a big learning curve. If you don't do too well, you can look back at it and go, right, that they're the best of the best. How did I go? How did I operate? Was it too much pressure? Was I feeling a certain way? The good thing is you've got technology where you can look back at it and analyse things, so it's going to be good to test yourself, and you always want to come out on top. So obviously that's from an individual point of view. As a group, we just want to keep doing what we're doing and kind of pounce on those opportunities that we have.
There's one young bowler here at Hampshire that's excited quite a lot in John Turner. Have you seen his development over the last year? How excited are you for him?
Yeah, JT is an unbelievable bowler. I think he's got a lot to offer. He's enthusiastic about his bowling. He works really hard. He's very fit and very strong, and he bowls very quick. I'm really excited for him. Obviously, he's just had a few niggles, so he's just getting through that. But that is a learning curve in itself for him. So I'm sure he'll bounce back from it really well. And I think the club's going to be in safe hands with him around.
Let's talk about you for a bit, because you've been at Hampshire for quite a while. You were at Warwickshire before that, but not many people might know that you had a professional football career. Just tell us a bit about your journey as a footballer.
I started off at Blackburn Rovers at the age of 9, and then got offered a contract at 16. And I was there for another 4 years after that, so 2021, I think. And I had a loan spell at Rochdale and Circle of Bruges, which was Blackburn Rovers' feeder club at the time. And then end up playing at St. Patrick's in Ireland for a few months. And then it just slowly started to go downhill from there. I was at Northwich Victoria. And at that point, things weren't looking too great of kind of waiting to hear if I was going to get a contract. So I think I got to 21 and kind of opted, you know what, I'm kind of done with it. And very luckily got offered a trial after a few games at my local club. I got offered a trial at Warwickshire against Hampshire. And it all went from there.
Did you play cricket alongside professional football as sort of a hobby then, or was it?
It was just catching. Yeah, it was kind of catching up with mates. All my club mates that I used to play with, I'd not played with for a while, so I'd go and play 3 to 4 games a year of club cricket just for a laugh. And it was only when I'd finished, a good friend of mine's sister was married to a professional cricketer who played at my club many years before that, who I'd played with. And he just said, look, if you do well at club cricket, I could probably get you a trial at his club. So that inspired me to try and give it a go. And I think I maybe took 20-odd wickets in the first 4 or 5 games, and I ended up getting a trial from a different club. So I was very fortunate, right place, right time, and snuck in the back door a little bit.
And you played England youth level, didn't you?
Yeah.
Played alongside the likes of Mark Noble.
So there was... Oh, God, I'm trying to think now. There was James Morrison, who played at... I think he played at Middlesbrough throughout most of his career. Mark Noble played... There was David Nugent, who played at Preston for quite a while. Played against a few good players, which I was fortunate with. But I played England under 19s and 20, only 2 or 3 games. But that was a good experience and learnt a lot from that.
And who was manager at the time at Blackburn? Did you ever get first team
trained with the first team a few times. So my experience with the first team, just from training point of view, was Graham Souness and Mark Hughes. Opened my eyes a bit when Souness was there, that for sure.
He's a regular on TalkSport nowadays. You can be honest.
I will be. I'm not bothered about what he thinks. I actually enjoyed it. I mean, obviously from an academy point of view, it's like, right, it's first team. And I was told, like, this training session, even when I went to the reserves, this training session is the most important. It was a training match. Mm-hmm. Most important match you'll have ever played. Give it your all. And that's when I started playing the reserves. So I was like 16, just turned 17. And then I had the odd first team session where Souness was there. And to say that the players feared him, safe to say, I remember that he had a few issues with a few players. I don't think Dwight York and Andy Cole were the Dwight York and Andy Cole of Man United, and I think that wound him up a bit. And safe to say, he would odd time join in a few sessions, and I'm not seeing tackles like it. Even all the years I've watched football, I've not seen some tackles like it coming from himself. And he was a big bloke. God, he was big, strong, muscly guy. Like, and when he spoke, players listened. So it was obviously I was young. I was going to listen anyway. But he laid the law down, and from what I remember, lads listened to it. And then Mark Hughes came along after as soon as had gone. A bit different, and yeah, it was. I didn't really spend that much time around the first team when he was there, but seemed like a good man and manager. He just had to deal with certain players differently. So I remember Craig Bellamy being there, who was the big fish, and Robbie Savage, who saw himself as the big fish. But yeah, he had some egos in there, and I think he managed them well and got the most out of them while they were there. So yeah, two different managers, great experiences. I'd love to relive those experiences. They were brilliant.
How much did that help you in terms of just being around that professional environment, going from football to cricket? You've already had that taste of what it was like being a professional athlete.
Coming to cricket took me back about 20 years. I feel like the cricket was a little bit behind in certain aspects, but... yeah, from a professional point of view, to a certain aspect. But football toughened me up a lot to kind of learn from my mistakes in football and just kind of get on with it in cricket. And just kind of, you know what, yeah, from a bowling point of view, bowling hurts. Get on with it. Deal with it. So that football environment was there's millions of people who want to play football and they'd do anything to play. And almost it was kind of, if you won't do it, we'll get someone else in that will. So you either fix up or you're out. So you had to learn quick from that, and that's, I was fortunate to have another shot in cricket to learn from mistakes and try and not make the same mistakes again.
Because we're in a dominated world of sports science now in 2024, and do you get frustrated probably as a player when they go, oh, you're in the red zone, you probably need some rest, when you've come up through that upbringing of, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm just gonna play?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one, that, really, because there are certain ways I think they've made a huge difference. Yeah. But what I think is going to happen, if we're not careful from a bowling perspective, is that you kind of end up nurturing really soft bowlers. Yeah. That any sort of niggle, oh, I can't bowl, and oh, I feel a bit sore. And then you're not going to get bowlers who actually, when it gets tough, can do it. So I think you've got to be careful. I think sometimes you've got to be in that red zone. It's almost like a car engine. If you, sounds wrong, but sometimes you've got to open up your engine a little bit to keep that engine clean and strong. If you don't, it clogs up and then things start going wrong. So I think there's leeway for both directions, but I think sometimes bowlers, young bowlers especially, have got to learn to understand their body and when they're really sore and when they're potentially going to get injured, to when actually it's just a bit of a niggle and they can crack on.
Do you think that gets hampered by, obviously, a lot of people nowadays only play T20, so they only bowl four overs at a time, and then when they step back into first class cricket, it's like it's a bit of a baptism of fire, I guess. You've gone from bowling short spells to bowling.
Yeah,
long.
I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I think obviously when I was playing more T20 on all formats, because the fixtures were a little bit in and out of, so you could be red ball one game and then it'd become a Friday night and you'd be T20. You kind of never lost your four-day fitness, but because now it's in blocks, which I do think is better, I think it can be harder for lads that have just been doing a lot of T20 and then all of a sudden there's a big leap back to trying to bowl a 6-7-8 over spell. So yeah, that's where your painkillers and caffeine pills come into it. So yeah, I don't think it's easy, and I think that's where there's got to be a balance. And I think from a bowler's point of view, you've got to almost learn to operate as in four-day cricket about 80%. It's quite hard to be flat out in everything because the amount of fixtures we play, you will burn out.
And going back to your footballing career, you said you were at Rochdale in the Football League, then went to Northwich. So that was National League sort of standard, I guess. I support a team in the National League. I support Aldershot Town. And I see a lot of players that float in and around the leagues on one-year deals. And so it must be quite hard to sustain if you're a professional thinking ahead to your future. So how glad are you that you quit while you're ahead in terms of that regard in terms of football and now had the career you've had in cricket?
Yeah, I mean, it's a gamble, even like county stuff as well. You can end up being on one-year deals and it's kind of, you're kind of just hoping things go well for you. It's not easy, especially in football, because there's that many people that can come out of nowhere. It's not easy, and there's no fix for it. You've just got to almost try and tread water and survive it and keep working hard and hope that things just happen for you. Sometimes it can be right opportunity, right time, and you've just got to fight it out and hope for the best.
Brilliant stuff from Keith, who was speaking to TalkSport's Scott Taylor. The clips about Souness, well, they might get an airing when the great man is next in the chair with Jim White and Simon Jordan. We'll stay with Hampshire as Liam Dawson, who's also had an eventful time with things recently, also caught up with Scott Taylor.
So Liam, thanks for joining us. This ahead of the 2024 season, I think it's your 17th season as a pro. How excited are you for this season?
Yeah, this time's always really exciting, not just for me, but for the whole group and the whole players that are getting ready for the season. Pre-season's always good fun, and I'm sure everybody involved is looking forward to start the summer next week.
And Hampshire's obviously gone so close to winning the county championship over the last few seasons. How motivated are you to finally get over the line and win it this year?
Without doubt, it's huge motivation for that, not just for me, but obviously everyone in that change room, something that we haven't done as a group, and you know, the only thing we haven't done as a group, you know, at this club. So yeah, everyone's really motivated. You know, I think if we're honest, we've been close over the last few years, but I think if we can rectify a few things, you know, a few of those losses, if we can turn those into draws, that'll give us a huge chance in competing about you know, being top of the league.
And arguably this season in the Championship with Durham coming up and the way they're playing under Ryan Campbell, it's going to be tougher than ever. How do you assess the strength, I guess, of Division 1?
Yeah, I said earlier, I think it's probably going to be the strongest that it has been maybe for a number of years, obviously with Durham coming up. They obviously dominated Division 2 last year and they play an attacking style of cricket. As I said, there's a lot of good teams in the division. Essex are always good, you know, Surrey are fantastic. Lancashire are going to be good this year with Nathan Lyon. So, yeah, there's some really good teams out there, but that's also a really good test for all the teams involved.
Do you feel like it's sort of now or never, really, with Hampshire? Because you've got the likes of Keith, who's approaching 38, Carl's getting older, Mohammed's in his 30s as well. Do you feel like it's, like, yeah, now or never for Hampshire to win the title this year?
Yeah, probably. We've got an older group, definitely, especially with our seamers. Obviously, towards the end of their careers now, but they're obviously still quality bowlers. But yeah, we know that if we play good cricket, we can compete with anyone on their day. And yeah, we are desperate to win it. And as I said, if we can turn a few of those losses into draws, that's going to help massively. Because if you look at the table over the last few years, we win probably more games than anyone in the division. We just lose a couple more.
And how much has the boost been signing Ali Orr and obviously Tom Prest, another year older, another year experienced, so that boosts the batting, I guess?
Without doubt. I've not seen much of Ali Orr. Obviously, a couple of pre-season games this year, he looks a really good player. He looks a player that we sort of needed in our top order. Somebody who can sort of put pressure a little bit back on the bowlers, and he's done that in pre-season so far. He's played really well. And yeah, and Tom Prest, he scored a fantastic 100 last year at Chelmsford on a real tough wicket against a quality bowler in Simon Harmer. So, yeah, obviously another year older for Tom, and don't want to put any pressure on him. Just want him to go out and enjoy his cricket and hopefully he performs.
And how do you back up your 2023? 49 wickets, over 800 runs. A stellar season for you.
Yeah, it's probably a season that I realistic might not happen again. Yeah, last year was a really pleasing season, you know, in all formats, really. But to back that up again, I'm desperate to do that, but very realistic how sport works. It's to do that again is going to be extremely tough, but I'll certainly be trying to do that, but also very realistic that that doesn't happen very often.
Can we clear up the whole England in India situation? Was there ever any contact from Rob or the ECB when Jack Leach went down and potentially naming replacements or potentially being named in the squad at all?
Yeah, there was. I had a phone call from Luke Wright just saying that they weren't going to call anyone up and would I be prepared to go if Tom Hartley was to get injured. And that was something I would have to have thought about. But as I said before, I'm very realistic where I stand with England now. There's a few things that's gone on sort of over the last year that, you know, doesn't really need to be spoke about. But yeah, I'm realistic where I am.
Is it a situation now where you've been in a lot of squads but haven't really played, so now you're in your 30s, it's all about playing cricket and being happy in the years that you've got left of your career?
Without doubt, yeah. That's exactly what I did last summer. Didn't worry about anything. Went out there and tried to enjoy my cricket. Very realistic that I don't have long left in the game. The age I'm at, I'm sort of, wouldn't say towards the back end of my career, but obviously I'm 34 now, so, you know, time sort of isn't running out, but it's you're towards sort of the later years of your career. But yeah, for me, it's all about enjoying it, trying to perform with whatever team I play for, and giving 100% every time I go on the field.
And you play a lot of franchise cricket. You played in PSL, you played in the SA20 this winter, so people could say you'd probably just rely on franchise cricket. So why Hampshire? Why does it mean so much to you to keep coming back to here as your home and playing for this county?
Well, I love playing for Hampshire. It's a club I've been at since I was 10 years of age. You know, I've came through the age groups, luckily came through the academy, and, you know, they've been very, very good to me over the years. And there's a number of players in that change room. Obviously, James Vince, Chris Wood have been here the same time as well. And it means a hell of a lot for us to play for this club. You know, it's your home as well. You care so much about the place. You want to win trophies. And, yeah, it means a hell of a lot.
How hard is it to find that balance of playing over the winter in these tournaments, but also looking after yourself for when you come back and play the new season? Because it's all well and good feeling fresh now, but come July you might be knackered because you've had a whole winter playing cricket. How hard is that balance for you?
Yeah, it can be. I think you know, it doesn't happen, you know, for me, I'm I feel very lucky to get the opportunity to play in the winter in these franchise tournaments. So, you know, I've got to take those opportunities when they come. But, you know, if someone like James Vince, who will probably get picked up in most tournaments, you know, for him, managing his schedule and his workloads is probably something that players of that quality are going to have to look at going forward, because, you know, you can play sort of 11 months of the year now. But, yeah, I mean, that's completely an individual's choice of what they want to do and how much cricket they want to play. And when they do come back to the county or their domestic team, are they going to be fresh enough to perform for that summer?
Just a couple more. This is, well, the question about the schedule is probably for one above your pay grade, but what's it like as an all-format player playing in this season where you've got four formats to combine into, what, 6 months?
To be honest, I've done it for a long time now. It's sort of just used to doing it. It's part of it. I understand that there's no ideal scenario, what format gives, you know, when you play certain things in a season. I think we're also very lucky that we get to play a lot of cricket as well, which is a very good thing as well. Obviously, that you don't want players being sort of flogged here and there. That's how the system is at the minute. But that's why also you have a squad as well. So you need to be clever of how you use those players. But for me, it's something that I've done for a number of years now. It's just something you really get on with, and yeah, you don't really have a choice about it because nothing seems to change.
And just finally, you've won SA20, One Day Cup, the Blast. Where would winning the championship rank amongst your career?
Yeah, without doubt, and that's exactly what I said earlier. That's my biggest driver now is to win that county championship, because that's the only thing I've not done in my career. I've been very lucky enough to win a number of trophies, but to get that county championship one would be something that would be a real, real special achievement to do, because you play it over 14 games. There's obviously a lot of hard work that goes into it, but it's obviously not easy to do. So yeah, desperate to do that. Hopefully I can do it before the end of my career, as a few others in that change room want to do. But yeah, all we can do is try and control and play good cricket, and as I said, hopefully lose a few less games and turn those games into draws, and then it might be possible.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool.
Big thanks to Liam there and Scott Taylor. Scott, a busy man this week, as he is every week. 24 hours prior to being at the Aegeus Bowl, he was at the Keir Oval, where he caught up with Jamie Overton.
So Jamie, thanks for joining us. How excited are you for the 2024 season?
Yeah, very excited. Another year of county cricket. It's always an exciting time, and yeah, fingers crossed we can win three and three. But yeah, I'm very excited, and there's obviously plenty of cricket to go, but we're pushing as far as we can.
How much more motivation is there this year for you, considering what happened with the stress fracture and missing a large chunk of last summer, I guess?
Not a massive amount more. I think it's... injuries is just sort of part and parcel of the game, especially for fast bowlers. It's frustrating, but it's just one of those when you are playing, it's just trying to give as much as you can. That's my philosophy is just trying to give as much as I can when I'm fit, and then I know injuries are going to happen, and sort of that's my sort of relaxation time and trying to recover and recoup from there. So yeah, looking forward to this year starting from the first game, and yeah, fingers crossed it's a successful year for myself.
And just on the big news last week that came out about Alex Stewart, really, I spoke to Ollie, who's obviously known him since he was 7 years old or whatever. As someone who's recently come into the club, just sum up what Alex done for you as a person and a cricketer.
No words can describe what he does for the club, well, for anyone really. He's just that sort of person in the back that just sort of, well, he's not really in the back, he's right at the front, right in front of everything. But he just gives you so much confidence. And when I first moved, it was one of the key deciding factors that he was going to be in charge of everything. He just sort of knows everything, knows what's going on, knows what get the best out of everyone. He's just a legend. It's obviously going to be disappointing to lose him, but fully understand that he sort of deserved his time, and hopefully we can get on a bang for him and try and win 3-3.
And how much do you flourish being a part of this Surrey attack? You've got obviously yourself, Dan Worrell, you've got Laws, who's very mentioned when it comes to the England setup as well, Kemar Roach. It's a great attack to be a part of, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's a phenomenal attack. Missed out Jordan Clark and Gus Atkinson as well. Like, it's just never ending. But it's nice because it doesn't mean you have to play every game. We've obviously got the riches that we can rotate the squad and try and keep everyone fresh, which has probably been one of the main reasons why the last couple of years we have won it. Just because not many sides have got the luxury that we have of having five or six seamers that we can rotate through. So it's nice to have, but it's you know that if you don't have necessarily a great day, you've got someone else that can turn the hand up and have a good day, and so it just rotates through like that. So yeah, it's a great to be part of, and you're obviously learning from everyone at the same time. Not everyone's the same, so it's just trying to take each day as it comes.
And how important is it for you to stay fresh, and how hard is it to find that balance of staying fresh? Because you've had a long winter with BBL and ILT20, so you might feel fresh now, but come July it might catch up on you. So how important is it to get that balance right?
Yeah, it's hard, it's tricky. It's just trying to keep doing the right things, whether that's eating well, getting enough sleep and recovery. It's just trying to do all the right things like early on, as soon as possible. And whether that does mean you have to have a couple of games where you just sort of chilled and you're not playing. It's a long season, and you've got to try and be fit for the whole season and try and contribute for the whole season. Not really my philosophy. It's just I try and play every game that I'm available for, so we'll have to just try and manage it as much as we can. Luckily, most of the time we play five seamers here, so you're not bowling a massive amount of overs anyway. So it's just trying to do the right things and trying to stay on top of everything, really.
Talking about not bowling a huge amount of overs, you played a lot of T20 cricket in the winter, BBL team of the tournament. You got the MVP in the 100 last year. There's a T20 World Cup in June. Is that one eye on that? Are you ambitious to get in that England side?
Yeah, one eye's on it. You never not sort of know how close you are. Fingers crossed, I feel like I'm quite close, but I've just got to keep doing what I'm doing. If it does come up and I do get selected, then I'll be over the moon and stuff. But I did an interview last week just saying my aim is to try and play in the Olympics in 2028. So if that's sort of the first sort of progress to try and get towards that stage, then that's the first main thing. But yeah, at the moment it's just trying to focus on what I'm doing. And obviously, I had quite a successful sort of 12 months in white ball T20 cricket, 100 cricket. So it's just trying to take that to the next step and try and push myself even further.
It's not just with the ball as well; it's with the bat. How much have you worked on your batting to become that all rounder?
I think I've probably done more work on the batting than I have the bowling. To be honest, bowling's just sort of. I think it's just. I actually put it down to a bit last year playing in the blast and not bowling anything, just playing as a batter. You sort of can sort of see what's going on. Sort of with an open lens. I think sometimes when you're bowling, you sort of just get carried away, and everything happens too quickly. Whereas when the field, it feels like it goes on forever sometimes. But yeah, it's just sort of open my eyes to sort of how people go about it and what's hard and what's easier to hit and stuff like that. So I think that's sort of helped me going forward with the bowling. But yeah, batting wise, I've done quite a lot of work trying to almost become like a finisher sort of role. Whether that means trying to get us up to a defendable score or trying to get us over the line in a crunch game, it's always not always going to work, but yeah, trying to put myself in those situations where it happens more often than not.
And how difficult was it for you, who had a good BBL, played in the ILT20 as well, and then had to withdraw from the PSL with an agreement with Surrey? How was that for you? Was that frustrating? Did you want it to kick on, or do you look at it the bigger picture?
Yeah, a bit frustrating. It's one of those things. I had a few little niggles and a few injuries, and Surrey weren't overly happy. So yeah, it was a bit frustrating, but kind of in the long run, it's not necessarily the worst thing. It would have been nice to go out to Pakistan and play for Karachi. Like, they've been very good to me. They've obviously picked me up, and then since then they've been very, very, very complimentary. So it's just, it was a bit disappointing, but these things happen, and just trying to get fresh for the summer here now and trying to push my case going forward.
Just Alex spoke to me last year, and one of the things he mentioned, he could see down the line franchise cricketers becoming a bit like tennis players, really, where they go from franchise to franchise, but they've not got a base, whereas you have a base here at Surrey. Did you see that potentially happening, where they have to bring their own coaches? Because at the moment, you've got an agreement with Surrey where you didn't play PSL.
Yeah.
But maybe 5-10 years down the line, where you want to cash in before you retire, that could be an option, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think potentially it could happen in the future. I think there's a few guys starting to just play for each sort of franchise around the world. Like Sunil Narine just plays for the Knight Rider sort of franchise and stuff like that. So it's going to happen more often than not. I think, yeah, some guys may go down that route. I think at the moment I'm sort of happy with still playing four-day cricket. I think it's a very beneficial to get your basics and stuff sort of in place, and then you sort of take T20 cricket from there. I think I saw something about Mark Butcher said the other day, actually, your four-day cricket or your basics cricket is the sort of foundation for everything, and you can just sort of express yourself from that situation or from four-day cricket. So, yeah, for me at the moment, it's just trying to keep doing that, and then whatever comes from it, comes from it. But, yeah, potentially in the future, that might be something that I look to go down, because obviously bodies, as a fast bowler, it's not the longest career, so you've got to try and earn the money as much while you can. So, and that means I've got to just play white cricket. I just play white cricket. But yeah, at the moment I'm focusing on just trying to play as much cricket as I can, and that means 4-day cricket and trying to get back in a test side.
How much are you looking forward to playing in the Championship this year, given the quality really of the other teams? Lancashire, Durham have done well under Ryan Campbell. You've got Essex and Hampshire always knocking on the door as well. So that's at least five teams, well, four plus yourself, going for the title. It's going to be really competitive.
Yeah, it's going to be really competitive. I think it's competitive every year. The standard is really high, especially with some very good overseas players coming in. It's not going to be easy. We've got to try and push ourselves even further than the last couple of years, because the other sides, they're coming at us, and it's always harder for teams when you're at the top, because people are always trying to peck you and take you down a notch. So, we've got to put our best foot forward and try and start the season on the front foot with Lancs next week. Try and take it from there game by game.
You had that one test with England where you did so well with the bat as well. Are you targeting a return to that side? And also on the horizon, there's no denying there's an away Ashes. You did well in Australia. Is that something perhaps that's on your mind?
Absolutely. I think while I'm still playing all four formats, it's just to try and get back in the test side. And if it does happen, it happens. If it doesn't, then so be it. But I think it's just trying to keep doing what I'm doing. And if it happens, it happens. Yeah. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. It's just, really just trying to keep what I'm doing. And that's all it is, really.
And for anyone thinking that there is a Southern bias to the Following On podcast, well, think again, because Jack Cunningham was at Durham's press day last week and he caught up with Bas de Leder.
I'm here with Durham's Bas de Leder and the Netherlands Bas de Leder. So, Bas, how has life in the North East been for you?
Very good. Obviously, the cricket side of things is, it's amazing to be at such a such a welcoming club as Durham, and such a high performing club as Durham. Last year was amazing for us, and I'm really excited for next year in terms of cricket. And then next to cricket, obviously, life outside of cricket has been good as well. Living with some of my teammates has been good fun, and obviously the North East has a lot of natural beauty to offer. So I've been trying to explore inwards towards the Lake District, and obviously I tried to have a couple of runs in the winter next to the beaches, which was very nice.
Oh, lovely, Tynemouth and all that, lovely.
Exactly.
Have you been keeping yourself fit for the off-season? You got any new training techniques or any new like diets, anything like that?
Not necessarily, no. I've spent quite a bit of time away in the winter, which so I was fortunate enough to spend a lot of time in the summer, but also keep training a lot. Probably less technical work than I would have done in the indoor school, but there's always small things, I think, that we as a cricketer try and work on. You're never going to change your whole action or reinvent your batting. It's just little one percenters that you can get somewhere. So it's been good fun trying to look at what I'm happy with and what I think can be better, you know, working together with Graham Onions and as a bowling coach, and then James Hildich as the batting coach.
Yeah, brilliant. Obviously, you were a key player at the World Cup for the Netherlands. I mean, can you describe what a World Cup in India was like?
It was nuts. Just 6 weeks of pure craziness and passion for cricket, which was awesome to experience, coming from a country where there's only 5,000 cricketers. Probably not many more that know what cricket is. So it was just amazing for us to experience. And I think, you know, in the end we did well, but also we came back from that trip and thought, you know, we could have won at least one or two more games if we had played well in every game. And so it was a really fun trip, really exciting trip for us, but also a little bit disappointing in the end.
No, that's fair. I mean, you ended the tournament with 16 wickets. I mean, how did you reflect on the World Cup personally?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, it is a step up from the level of cricket we normally play. You know, we don't get the opportunity to play against full members every season or every year. So for me, it was a real eye-opener in a way to see where I am now in comparison to the world's best and where or what I need to be doing to get to that level. So a really good experience and hopefully helps me with my learning in the next couple of years.
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, I mean, you kind of touched on it anyway, but I mean, from a team perspective, you're actually quite disappointed in the end when you came back.
Yeah. Obviously, still happy with the results that we did get. We just felt that there was more there, and we could have grabbed the opportunities that were there. We just didn't, and that I think that was the disappointing bit.
That's fair enough. I mean, how was the team treated by the public when you all returned? Because, as you said, only 5,000 cricketers in the Netherlands. It's obviously a sport that's growing. So how was the public reaction?
There was actually quite a bit of media attention, which was very cool. You know, there's a couple of Dutch TV stations, news stations that reported on the World Cup, which was amazing. And I think when we got back, not necessarily a massive reception for us, but the attention we got during the tournament and the support we got was something that was really nice.
That's great. I mean, looking ahead, T20 World Cup, of course. How are you feeling about another big international tournament and another chance to impress?
Yeah, like you said, it's a chance to impress for us. You know, having done well at the last T20 World Cup and obviously having been at the 50-over World Cup, I think for us it's going to be the question: can we reproduce what we have done, and can we show that we have gotten better in that time? And I think that's the focus has been on going from good to great. So how do we do that? What does that look like individually, and what does it look like as a team? And I'm really excited to be able to show what we can do on the biggest stage again.
Brilliant. I mean, are you optimistic about cricket in the Netherlands continuing to grow now based on continually being in tournaments and more exposure, basically?
Hopefully. You know, the thing with cricket in the Netherlands is that it's not well known. So the problem starts there. And I think with the attention we got during the World Cups and, like you said, playing more tournaments, it definitely helps with the attention, and more people start to get to know what it is and what it is about. And hopefully it starts growing again. I think there's been a slight staggering trend. So if we can get that upwards again, then that would be phenomenal.
And then looking at Durham, everyone must be feeling very confident ahead of the new campaign.
Yeah, I think, you know, we should be confident after last year's, and that's how we want to tackle the games in this county championship. And we're obviously going to face quality players and probably better opposition than we did last year. So the challenge for us is to stay confident, to play the same way and to try and do that for longer and for more periods in the game, and we should be set.
What have you made of the new additions?
Obviously I've played a lot with Colin Ackerman already. Kellen Parkinson is great around the dressing room, and he's a quality cricketer. But yeah, both of them coming in is a great add to our squad. And then you obviously got the rookies that come in alongside that, which have been really exciting, especially in Zimbabwe, but also seeing them in the Indoor Nets here.
And then Scott Boland as well, of course.
Well, yeah. He's I almost forgot about him, but I'm sure after the first couple of games, I'll definitely know who he is.
And then finally, I mean, sublime year for Durham 2023. What are the aims for the season?
Well, I think we're in it to win it. I mean, it would be silly to not have that goal. And if it turns out differently throughout the season, we can obviously adjust our goals, but I think we should be trying to win every game, and hopefully that leads us to trophies.
Big thanks to Baz, to Keith, to Liam and Jamie, as well as Jack and Scott. And if you like what you hear, please take the time to leave a 5-star review on the podcast page and follow at @cricket_TS on X or Twitter. And for even more content, head over to the TalkSport Cricket YouTube channel and hit subscribe. But for now, thanks for listening to Following On.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.